Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Lamed Daled, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, about 10 lines from the top. Says the Mishnah, Ra'as a koi. If somebody saw a koi, firstly, I saw from Rav Chaim Kamievsky many times as a question how to pronounce this word. So I saw from Chaim Kamievsky that the proper way to pronounce this word is koi, not kvi. So the Mishnah discusses, as it did in the previous Mishnah, a situation where we have a number of people. Actually, in our Mishnah, we have 9 people making different statements. Now, throughout Shas, we're confronted with the status of a koi. Some say that a koi is the offspring of a he-goat with a hind. Others, some say it's a distinct species. And therefore, throughout Shas, the Gemara tries to determine how do we view a koi. Do we view a koi as a behemoth, or do we view a koi as a chaya? There are very different halachas regarding a behema and a chaya. The chalev of a behema is osur midaraisa. However, the animal's blood, after it's slaughtered, does not have to be covered. There is no chiyuv of kisui hadam. And a chaya is just the opposite. There is no chalev daraisa by a chaya, but on the other hand, a chaya, the blood of a chaya has to be covered when it's slaughtered. There's a chiyuv of kisui hadam. And now Mishnah continues to discuss numerous declarations of Naziris based on what people are saying is a koi. Says the Mishnah, Roy is a koi. If somebody saw a koi, v'omah hareini nazir shezeh chaya. I'm a nazir, because I am saying that a koi is a chaya. Hareini nazir, the second person, said, Hareini nazir shezeh eno chaya. I'm declaring that I'm a nazir, and that a koi is not a chaya. Hareini nazir shezeh behema. The third person says, I'm a nazir, and I'm because I'm saying that I'm a nazir because a koi is a behema. The fourth individual said, Hareini nazir she'ein zeh behema. I'm saying that it's not a behema. Hareini nazir she'zeh chai behema. Since a koi, as we said, is treated to a degree like a chai and a behema, because it may be a new species that has the dinim of both, and that's actually what this individual says, that this is a chaya and a behema. That's individual number 5. And individual number 6 says, Hareini nazir she'ein zeh loy chaya v'loy behema. And that the koi is neither in the category of behema and a chaya. And we'll stop here for a moment. And the Mishnah, as we're going to see in a moment, says that all of these 6 individuals are considered a nazir. In a moment, we'll see that there are 3 more individuals that the Mishnah discusses, but their status and why they're nazirim is in a totally different explanation. So first, let's understand why our Mishnah holds that these first 6 individuals, who seemingly said very contradictory statements, are all considered nazirim. The easiest pshat, and that's one of the pshatim that the Mefarish sets forth, is that our Mishnah represents the opinion of Beis Shammai. That Beis Shammai says that even by a suffik, as we've been learning, that a suffik hegdish, in a case of doubt, Beis Shammai says it's considered a naziris. Similarly, will Beis Shammai hold in this situation that even though there's a suffik, it's not clear, is it a behema, is it a chaya, is it both, still it will be considered a naziris. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, discuss is because the Rishonim do not want to limit our Mishnah to be following the opinion of Beis Shammai, and therefore they say that our Mishnah can even follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. And they give three explanations and how our Mishnah could follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. One explanation is it follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. The Rav Shimon says that whenever we have a suffix, we have to go l'chumra. Here, since we have a suffix, we go l'chumra. Another pshat that I saw in explaining how this could follow the opinion of Beis Hillel is because Beis Hillel will agree that since this person, when he accepted upon himself the Naziris, recognized and understood that there are certain elements of the Koi being a behema, a Koi being a Chaya, a Koi actually carrying the characteristics of both, therefore the Beis Hillel will agree that this person definitely expected and intended to declare upon himself a Naziris. Another pshat that I saw is that there are two separate concepts. One is a concept called Tos Hegdish. Somebody declared something to be Hegdish by error. And another concept is Suffolk Hegdish. Tos Hegdish, as we have been learning, is the subject of dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, with Beis Shammai holding that a Tos Hegdish is still considered a Hegdish, and Beis Hillel disagreeing. However, in a situation of Suffolk Hegdish, like our case, because we really don't know the status of a Koi, is it a Behema or is it a Chaya, such a circumstance, even Beis Hillel agrees, is considered Hegdish. And that's why, according to most Rishonim, even Beis Hillel will agree that these first six individuals are Nazir. Continues our Mishnah in discussing the declaration of three more individuals in our situation. Says the Mishnah, Hareni Nazir, Shech Mechem Nazir. If a seventh individual says, I'm a Nazir, based on the fact that one of you is a Nazir, Hareni Nazir, She'enechem Inchem Nazir, or an eighth individual says, one of you is certainly not a Nazir, because one of you must have made a mistake, because if it's a Behema, it's not a Chayy, if it's a Chayy, it's not Behema, or Hareni Nazir, She'kulchem Nazir, individual nine says, I'm a Nazir because all of you are Nazirim. Here, Hareni Kulam Nazirim, so our Mishnah says that all nine individuals whose declarations have been articulated and our Mishnah are all considered Nazir. So a moment ago we explained why the first six individuals are Nazir. Now we will explain why these last three individuals are Nazir. And actually it's the subject of a machloket, two pshatim in Tosfos. The first pshat in Tosfos is that these last three individuals are certainly Nazir. And he explains each one. The first individual that said that I'm a Nazir, if one of you is a Nazir, one of them must be a Nazir. Because whether the Koi is a Behema, or if the Koi is a Chaya, or the Koi is both, we will, between the first six individuals who made declarations, find an individual who hit it right. Similarly, the next individual who said, I'm a Nazir, if one of you is not a Nazir, also is certainly a Vade Nazir, because one of them from the six first declarers made a mistake, because a Koi is something and it's not something. We don't know what it is and what it isn't, but certainly one of them made an incorrect determination of what a Koi is, and therefore the eighth individual's declaration is a Vade Naziris. The ninth individual's declaration, again, says Tosfos, is certainly a full-fledged declaration, because as we explained earlier, all first six individuals of our Mishnah have to act as Nazirim. So when this ninth individual said, Hareni Nazir, Shekulchem Nazirim, he was technically correct, because all of them have to act as Nazirim. But Tosfos brings another pshat, that these last three individuals are also perhaps in the category of a Sofik Naziris. Because Tosfos explains as follows. The first individual who said, I'm a Nazir, if one of you is a Nazir, we could understand his declaration in the following way. Either he's saying, I'm a Nazir, because one of you is certainly a Nazir, and then Itaka is certainly a Nazir, or what he meant to say is, if one of you six knows for sure that you're correct, that you're a full-fledged Nazir, then I will be a Nazir. But since none of these first six individuals can know for sure that their declaration was absolutely correct, that's why he remains a Sofik Nazir. And so Tosfos says in explaining the eighth person's declaration, either he means, does he mean to say, I'm a Nazir if one of you is not required to be a Nazir, and there is certainly one of the people there who's wrong, and therefore he's going to be a full-fledged Nazir. Or perhaps we could explain what he meant is, if one of you six knows for sure that he's not a Nazir, then I'll be a Nazir. But none of the first six speakers in our Mishnah know for sure if what they said was correct or incorrect, and therefore he remains a Sofik Nazir. And also, the ninth person's declaration, who said, I'm a Nazir of all of you on the Nazir. He could say that he meant, I'm a Nazir if all first six people are definitely Nazirim. And that can't be that all six people are for sure Nazirim. Their statements are actually contradicting each other. Or what he meant to say is, I'm a Nazir if all of you have to perform the acts of Naziris. And that actually is indeed true. They do all have to perform the acts of Naziris. And then he'll definitely be a Nazir. And therefore, according to this pshat in Tosfos, the last three individuals are Sofik Nazirim. Says the Gemara, Tani Chada, one Braisa, which are similar to our Mishnah, says Tisha Nazirim, discusses a case of nine Nazirim, similar to the case that we just learned in our Mishnah. V'tani Idach, but there was another Braisa that speaks about Tisha Naziris, nine terms of Naziris. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Tisha Nazirim, to find a case where we're discussing nine individuals who are accepting upon themselves Naziris, is the case of our Mishnah, Kigoyim, the Haver Gavra Tvei. We had nine individuals, and Ditris Ozlbei, and all of them made declarations of Naziris depending on the status of a Koi. That was the declaration of the first six individuals. And the last three individuals were making declarations based on the declarations of the first six individuals. Ela Tesha Naziris L'chad Gavra. But how do we have a situation that the Braisa, that the second Braisa mentions, that we could have nine terms of Naziris to one individual, Heich Mishkachsla, based on the case of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Bishla Mashis Mishkachsla, how we could have one person having six terms of Naziris, we could understand, could not, like the case that we learned in our Mishnah, that we're going to have six, the same person declaring Naziris six times with the six different declarations that were mentioned by the first six people in our Mishnah. For example, the first person is going to declare Naziris, saying that a Koi is a Chaya. Then that very same individual declares upon himself a Naziris, saying that a Koi is not a Chaya, and so on. Av Klas, the last three declarations of Naziris in our Mishnah, Heichem Mishkachslo, how can we find by the same individual? Because as we explained in our Mishnah, the last three declarations that were mentioned in our Mishnah were situations with these three last individuals were making statements based on the declarations of the first six individuals. But here it's all one person. So Avotlas, Heichem Mishkachslo, Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Kigayin to Amar, it's referring to a case, Hareni Nazir, I am a Nazir, and Nazir is Kala Alai. So why Tosfos and the Rosh explain the Gemara, is the Gemara is referring to an individual, to a tenth individual. And this tenth individual watched and saw the declarations that were made by the nine individuals mentioned in our Mishnah. And then this person says that he's going to observe the amount of terms of Naziris that have to be observed by all the people who made declarations in our Mishnah. And since, as we learned in our Mishnah, given the case of our Mishnah, we're going to have nine terms of Naziris, albeit the case of our Mishnah refers to nine separate individuals. In our case, this tenth individual who's accepting upon himself whatever these nine people have cumulatively accepted upon themselves, he'll have to keep nine terms. That's the pshat that Tosfos and the Rosh learn. However, there are other Rishonim that explain that our Mishnah is referring to one individual, and the one individual said, Hareni Nazir, that this animal is a chaya, and it's not a chaya, and so on. Those are the first six cases. Then he said, Hareni Nazir, Shezeh chaya, V'loy chaya, Shezeh behema, Shezeh behema, V'einoy behema, Shezeh behema v'chaya, V'einoy behema v'chaya. So this person now has made nine declarations, and therefore he has the obligation to keep nine terms of Naziris. The Sfas Emes has another way of explaining the Gemara that also does not involve a tenth individual, but rather involves one individual. It's referring to the first six cases are as we explained in the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara. The seventh Naziris is where the person says regarding himself, I'm going to be in the Nazir if one of the Naziris I said is for sure in the Naziris. Then he says, I'm going to be another, one of them is incorrect. Where certainly those two statements are true statements. One of the first six statements he made was certainly correct. One of the first six statements that he made is certainly incorrect. And then he says, I'm going to be Nazir if I have to keep all those terms, which as we learned in the Mishnah, he does have to keep all the terms of the Nazir, of the Naziris, and that's why this one individual will have upon himself nine terms of Naziris. And the advantage of learning this pshat in the Mishnah is because the Mishnah uses the word raw. And as many Mefarshim explain, what forced the Braisa, and now our Gemara, in explaining the Braisa, to take this approach of speaking about one individual, is because the Mishnah begins with the words raw asakoi. So it seems to be talking about one person. Because it was talking about many people, what does it say? The Loshin Yochid Ra Sakoi. And therefore, our Gemara, in explaining the Braisa, tries to figure out a situation where we could have a person having all these terms of Naziris. Tosfos' explanation is that we have a tenth individual watching and witnessing what the first nine people mentioned in our Mishnah said, and the other Mefarshim, as we just explained, speak about this one individual who's able to declare upon himself nine terms of Naziris based around the status of a Koy. Says, Hanulach Beishamai, Hanulach Beishamai, Hanulach Beishamai. Says the Mishnah, Shlosh Shaminim Asurim Benazir. There are three things, the three halachas that apply to a Nazir. Hatuma, Vataglachas, Vayoyetz Min HaGefen. A Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei, a Nazir is not allowed to take a haircut, and a Nazir is not allowed to eat any grape products. The Mefarshim discuss why the Mishnah uses the word Shloish Shaminim, not Shloish Shadvarim, and the Mefarshim explain One explanation is to going back to what we discussed earlier in the Masechta, that our Mishnah follows the opinion of the Rabbanon, that even if one accepted upon himself just one of the dinim of Naziris, he's considered a full-fledged Nazir, and that's what the Mishnah says, Shloisha Minim, we have these three dinim. Another shot that I saw is that if we look at these three halachas that apply to a Nazir, they have very different characteristics. Tumah is totally not related to the body of the individual. A person is not allowed to go into the house with it. A Nazir is not allowed to go into the house with it as a mace. It has nothing to do with the Nazir's body himself. Haircut doesn't reflect something that enters his body, but it does reflect something that's on his body, his hair. And wine speaks about something in his body, that he drinks wine or grape products, that we will be discussing at great length in our Mishnah and our Perek. In fact, the Mefarshim go on to explain, if we follow the order of Psukim mentioned in the Torah that speak about the dinim related to a Nazir, we would find that the Tana is not following the order that's followed in the Torah. Why is the Tana mentioned in this order? So one pshat that I saw is, since, as we just mentioned, the bulk of what we will be discussing are the halachas of grape products, so the Tana mentions it last because that's going to be the subject he's going to dwell on. But another pshat is that he's following the order that we just explained. First the Tana discusses what's outside the body, then the Tana discusses what's on the body, and then the Tana discusses what's in the body. And that's why the Tana used the word minim, not tvarim. The kala yoytzim gefen, all products that emanate from a grape, mistafim zemzeh, can combine with each other for Nazir to receive malchus if he ingests these products. Veinu chayif, however, he's not chayif, at sheyoychum min anovim kezayis. Until he eats a kezayis of grapes, is he not chayiv for eating grape products? There's always an interesting question discussed by the poskim. When we speak about a sheer kezayis, or in a moment we're going to speak about a sheer revius, how does one measure a kezayis or revius? And because there's really two ways of measuring it. Do we measure it by volume, or do we measure it by weight? By volume we mean that we take a cup full of wine and we drop an olive into that cup. The amount of wine that's displaced is measuring by volume. Measuring by weight is we weigh the average olive, and the equivalent weight of wine would be the sheer kezayis. Most Rishonim and Paiskim say that in measuring the kezayis here, we follow the measure by volume, not the measure by weight. Says the Mishnah Rishonai Meris, the original Mishnah says, Atshi Yish the Revius Yayin, until he drinks a Revius of wine. V'kivaymer, afil ashara pita b'yayin, even if he soaked his bread in water, v'yesh by kedei l'tzar v'kezayis, we combine a kezayis, we could have a kezayis, it adds up to a kezayis between the bread and the wine. Chayiv, he's chayiv for eating that bread, even though we don't have that shear accumulated just by wine. So there are a number of explanations by the Rishonim and the Achronim in this clause of the Mishnah. First, in understanding the machloikis between the Mishnah Rishonim and the Mishnah Achronim. According to the Rosh, the machlokes between the Mishnah Rishonah and the Mishnah Achronah is to be understood very simply. The Mishnah Rishonah held that the shear of eating or drinking grape products for a Nazir is a revius, which is actually larger than kezayis. The Mishnah Achronah holds that the shear of eating or drinking grape products for a Nazir is a kezayis. And that's what we follow, which is the smaller shear. Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees. And he says that there was never a question that the Shir Achila was a Kezayis. The only machloikis between the Mishnah Rishayna and the Mishnah Achrayna is regarding the Shir Shtiyah, where the Mishnah Rishayna held that the Shir for drinking was a Revius, and the Mishnah Achrayna holds that the Shir is a Kezayis. What would be the Nafkamina between the Pshatim of Pshat of the Rosh and the Pshat of Rabbeinu Tam? Says the Miches Chinuch, according to the Rosh, that the Shir Achila and the Shir for food items and the Shir for liquid is always the same. Therefore, as we learned in the beginning of our Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, "V'kol ha'yotzim and ha'gefen mitstarfim zem zeh," says the Mishnah, says the Miches Chinuch, then we, even if we combine wine, grape juice with actual grapes, they can be mitstarf to the shear for nazir to be chayiv. However, if we follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbeinu Tam says that it could well be that the shear of achila and the shear for food and the shear for drink is not the same shear. Then, even though our Mishnah says that different items can combine, the Mishnah will hold that food, solid food and beverage cannot combine. The Meiri has a different explanation of our Mishnah. He said there was never a machloikis what the shear is. That's not the machloikis between the Mishnah Rishayna and the Mishnah Achrayna. Rather, the Meiri says that the Tanakhama holds that only food items can combine with food items, and beverages combine with beverages, but beverages and food cannot combine. And the Mishnah Rishayna held that food items and beverages can combine. Says Rabbi Kiva that he indeed holds that way, and food items and beverages can indeed combine. Although, I saw a very interesting pshat from the Karen Ira, that the Karen Ira says that throughout halacha, we know that there's how much time is there for something to be eaten, that it be considered that I ate, when I have to eat matzah on Pesach, I have to eat a kezayis of matzah, I have to eat it toich kedei achilas pras. If I'm going to eat something that's also to be eaten, how much time do I have to eat it that it should be considered I did the Aveira? Again, if I ate in the time of toich kedei achilas pras, which the Paiskim disagree, that it's anywhere from 3 to 9 minutes. When it comes to drinking, the shir is kedei shtias revius, the amount of time it takes to drink a revius. Again, if it's something I'm supposed to drink the dalet kaisis on Pesach by night, and how much time do I have to drink up each kais? And the time it takes kedei shtias revius, to drink a revius. On the other hand, if I drink something that I'm not supposed to drink, how much is the time that I'm over if I drank it in the time of kedei shtias revius? Says the Karen Ira that here, in the case that Rabbi Kiva discusses, where a nazir soaked his bread in wine, so the food that is causing the isser is the wine, which is a beverage. So the shear ought to be a kedei shtias revius. Says Rabbi Kiva, says the Karen Ira, since I soaked the wine into bread, we don't follow the amount of time it takes to eat, to drink kedei shtias revius. Rather, the shear will follow is kedei achilas pras. There's also an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. In a situation where one soaked bread in wine, or he soaked bread in schnapps. It's a very strong wine or strong schnapps, or for whatever reason, the person therefore soaks the bread in the wine or in the schnapps. What bracha will he make? Will he make a bar priagofen for the wine, a shahakel for the schnapps, or does he make a hamaitzi because he soaked bread, or we make hamazoinus if he soaked a piece of cake? The Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to feel that he's always going to make the hamaitzi or the mazoinus. Certainly they always remain the main food, as we know in halacha, and even if somebody soaked wine or schnapps and bread or cake, he has to make a mitzi or hamazoinus. However, the Paiskim do say, the Mishnah Berurah speaks about a case where it's obvious that the person's entire intention was to drink the schnapps. Again, he speaks about a case where the schnapps is a very strong schnapps, a strong whiskey, and by soaking he's only soaking the cake into the schnapps because it's too difficult for him to drink that whiskey straight, says the Mishnah Berurah, that there perhaps he should make a shahakel, and therefore the best advice that one can follow in such situations is that he should make first two separate brachas, eat the cake separately, drink the wine or the schnapps separately, and then he could do the rest in the soaking method. Continues the Mishnah. And one is chayv, another is chayv for drinking wine, or for eating grapes, or for eating the chatzanim, we'll see what chatzanim and zagim are in a moment. They refer to the pits and the skin of the grape. Just the question is, which word refers to the pit and which word refers to the skin? He's not chayiv until he eats two pits and one skin. There's a very interesting point made by the Miches Chinuch and by other Mefarshim. The question that they ask is, why is a Nazir chayiv for eating pits? Pits are food that is not really a food. Nobody eats pits. The answer is that the Torah explicitly tells us that a Nazir is chayiv when he eats pits, as we find in other areas of halacha. The halacha is that one is not allowed to eat the gir hanasha. Now, not all of the gir hanasha is edible. Yet the Torah says that if somebody eats the gir hanasha, he was oivin aveira. The same is for eva menachai. If somebody takes off a limb from a live animal, there's an issa eva menachai, even if he eats inedible bones, an inedible gidin. However, the Gemara in Masechta Chulin on Daf Tzadik Gimel says that even, as we just said, if somebody eats the non-edible portions of Eivim Menachai, he's still Oivid Aveira of Eivim Menachai. Says Rabbi Yochanan that even though, as we just mentioned a moment ago, throughout Halacha, one is Chai, if somebody eats some a kezayis of a food that he's not allowed to eat, he has up to the shear of Kedei Achilas Pras. If he ate the kezayis in the time of Achilas Pras, it's considered that he was over the Aveira. Says Rabbi Yochanan, that's only when he ate a regular edible food. But when he ate an inedible food, he has to eat it bebas achas. He has to eat it simultaneously without any break in between. There isn't this halach of Kedei Achilas Pras. Furthermore, Rabbi Yochanan says that even though throughout halacha we know there's a concept of chotzi shir osam min ha-Torah, if somebody ate just part of what's osir, a chatzi kezayis, chotzi shir is osam min ha-Torah. Again, that's only by edible food, but by inedible food we don't have this concept. Says the Miches Chinuch, the same will be regarding chatzanim, that if somebody ate pits of a grape, if a nazir ate pits of a grape, yes, our Mishnah says that he's chayiv, but says the Miches Chinuch, he has, just like by the Eva Menachai, we don't have the regular din of Kedei Achilas Pras, but rather he has to eat it bebas achas. And just like by Eva Menachai, there is no din of chotzi shir. He has to eat the whole shir to have been considered that he did an aveira. So too, says the Minchas Chinuch, is going to be the din by the Chatzanim. He has to eat a bebas achas, and only if he ate the shir will he be chayiv. If he didn't eat the whole shir, he will not be chayiv. So the Mishnah goes on to describe, as we said, what are the Chatzanim and what are the Zagim. Eilein ha-chatzanim ve'eilein ha-zagim. Which are the chatzanim, which are the zagim? Says the Tanna Kamma, ha-chatzanim eilu ha-chitzoinim. The chatzanim are the outer parts, the skins. Ha-zagim eilu ha-pnimim. These are the inner parts. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Oymer Shloi Tita. Don't make a mistake. Don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, it's kezug shel behema. Use the bell that's tied around the neck of an animal as your motto. Hachitzoim, the outer part of the bell, is called the zug. The pnimi is called the inbol. Similarly here, the zagin are the outer part, and the chatzanim are the pits, the inner pits. Says the Brisker Rav, after learning the Mishnah, now we could understand the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah. He analyzes the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, "Ach yoich l'shnei chatzanim v'zag." You have to eat at least two chatzanim and a zag. And why Rav Elazar says this? Why Rav Elazar ben Azariah has this opinion? The Gemara will explain based on a pasuk. So first he says, it's obvious that Rav Elazar ben Azariah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because you can't have two skins. So obviously, Rav Elazar ben Azariah holds the chatzanim means the pits, and zag means the skin, and therefore we could understand shnei chatzanim means two pits and one zag. Says the Brisker Rav further, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, if we look at Rav Elazar ben Azariah at first look, seems to be a machmer, because he say be a mekel, that he holds you have to have at least two pits and one skin to be chayiv. The Tanna Kamma disagrees. He says that you could have just one skin, one pit, you'll be chayif. But the truth is, says the Brisker Rav, that really Rav Elazar ben Azariah is a machmer. Because according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, as soon as you have two pits and a skin, even if they don't make up a kezayis, you'll be chayif. Whereas according to Tanna Kamma, you don't have to have a combination of pits and skin, but you have to have a kezayis. However, says the Brisker Rav, even though we just explained that Rav Elazar ben Azariah to a degree is a machmer, and he doesn't have to have a kezayis, as soon as we have two pits and a skin, Rav Elazar ben Azariah will say that he's chayiv, says the Brisker Rav, that these, for Rav Elazar ben Azariah to say Yechayiv when you have just as little as two pits in a skin, it all has to come from one grape. But if it doesn't come from one grape, there Rav Elazar ben Azariah will not agree that Yechayiv. Says the Gemara, Shlosh Minim Asur ben Nazir. Our Mishnah began with saying that three things are Nazir to Nazir: Hatoma and products of the grape wine. So our Mishnah said, Hayoyitz min a gefen in. Products of the grapevine are also to a nazir. Gefen atzmeloi, but the grapevine itself is not also to the nazir. Says the Gemara, Masnis in the light Rebbe Elazar. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. The Tanya Rebbe Elazar Omer, Rebbe Elazar holds, Afilu alim v'lulavim b'mashma. According to Rebbe Elazar, even the shoots and leaves of a grape tree are awesome. Ikad Amrla. However, others come to this understanding of our Mishnah not from the Reisha, but from the Sefer. It says in the Sefer, Ein Achayiv al Sheoichem al Novim Kazayis. Only if you ate from the grapes, a Kazayis of grapes, is the Nozachayiv. Says the Gemara, Men al Novim in, only if you ate grape products. Be'agefen Atzmoy, but if you ate the grape vine itself, the love him and gefanim, loy, he will not be chayiv. Again, Masnissin like Rabbi Lazar. Our Mishnah clearly doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. The Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Oimer, Afilo Alan Velulavim Mamashma, one is Chayiv, even by the Alan Velulavim. And as Taisus and the other Rishonim explain, there really is no practical machlokes between these two versions. The whole nafkamina, the whole machlokes of these two versions is, could we learn from the Reisha or not? The first Lashon held that we could learn it, we could learn this din, even from the Reisha. Because the Reisha says, Hayoytsi min agefen. So the Mishnah said, Hayoytsi min agefen. So the first Lashon wanted to make a diuk, Hayoytsi min agefen, and not the gefen itself. However, the second Lashon holds that it could well be that included in the category of Hayoytsi min agefen are included Lulavim and Gefanim. So we can't use the Reisha as a proof that our Mishnah disagrees with the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Therefore, he says, the Sefer, where the Sefer clearly says, that is a clear proof contrary to the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. So they both really halachically hold the same. The question is that the second Lashon holds that the Reisha can't serve as a source to teach us, not like Rabbi Lazar. We begin now a sugya which speaks about how to explain psukim in the Torah. And as most Rishonim explain, there's a very fundamental machloikis tanon on how to view psukim in the Torah. When we have a pasuk that first speaks broadly, and then the pasuk seems to limit itself, how do we view those psukim? Do we view those psukim as a ribu yimiyut, or do we view those psukim as a klal uprat? And as we're going to understand, if we view it as a ribu yimiyut situation, we're going to include much more than if we just were to view it as a klal uprat. For as the Mefarshim explained, a klal uprat, the prat defines the klal. It isn't just coming to teach us an exception to the rule, it's coming to define the rule. On the other hand, a ribui and miut, the miut doesn't define the ribui, the miut qualifies the ribui, but it doesn't define it. And therefore, there's a fundamental machlokes how to understand psukim that are written this way. Are they to be understood as a ribui miut? Are they to be understood as a klal uprat? We're going to go on to understand that there are cases of a riut, miut, ribui. There are cases of a klal, prat, u klal. And there are cases of prat, klal, u prat. As the Gemara in tomorrow's shiur will discuss, the differences between a prat, klal, u prat versus a klal, prat, u klal. Although the differences are very minor, and a fact of a Farshim point out that those of us that say the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel every day in davening will recognize that he doesn't mention ribui miut. He obviously is of the opinion that when faced with such a situation, we should explain the psukim as a klal uprat, not as a ribui miut. And he also doesn't mention both the case of klal uprat or klal, a prat or klal uprat, because since the halachas, or the rules of these two situations, are so similar, he doesn't see a need to mention both of them. Says the Gemara, this question, ribui miut versus klal uprat, is the machlokes between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, if alun lulavim are also to a nazu or not. Rabbi Lazar darish ribui miut. Rabbi Lazar explains the pasukim as a ribui miut. Rabbanan darshi klali prati, Rabbanan explained it as a klal prat situation. Explains the Gemara. Rabbi Lazar darshi ribui miut. Rabbi Lazar views the psukim as a situation of ribui miut. First, the pasuk says, miyayin v'sheichi yazir. Miut. The Torah has limited what a nazir is not allowed to have. Then the pasuk says, mikol ha-shiyas megefen ha-yayin ribui. It speaks about everything. Says Rabbi Lazar, when we have a situation, miyut v'ribo, a miut and a ribui, with marba hakol. It comes to explain everything. My ribui, ribui kamili. It comes to say that everything is also to a nazir, even alun and ulovim. And my miut, and what does exclude? Miut shebeshta, the woody branch of the vine, that he'll agree is not included. Now there's a very important point that the Rishonim make. Reb Elazar is explaining the psukim as a situation of a miut v'ribui. But ask the Rishonim, there's really another pasuk. The pasuk also says mechatzanim v'adzag, which actually, as we're going to see in the Rabbanan use that pasuk, and that's why they say we have here a three-part sequence. Why does Reb Elazar not agree? Says Tosfos, because Reb Elazar holds like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, who uses the pasuk mechatzanim v'adzag, as we learned in the Mishnah, to teach us that you're not chayiv unless you ate two pits and the skin, and therefore this pasuk is not available to have a situation of a miut ribui miut. However, Rabbanan darshu klali pratim. When Rabbanan faced with such a situation, they explained the pasuk as a klal prat. Miyayim v'zay sheikh yazi is a prat. Mikol ha-shiyas v'megefen yayin is klal. And then the pasuk says mechatzan v'adzag. They obviously don't agree with Reb Elazar ben Azariah, and therefore they say that this pasuk is going to be again a situation of a prat. So we have here a situation of prat uklal prat, that the halach is that whenever we have a prat uklal prat, iyat don elkein a prat, it has to be similar to the prat. Ma prat mefurish. The prat is coming to teach us pri upsoilus pri. It speaks about fruit of the vine and the waste products of the fruit of the vine. Af kol pri upsoilus pri are also to a nozir. Ima pri mefurish pri gomer, because it speaks about, if we look at the prat, the prat says mikol ashiyase. The prat discusses miyayim v'sheicher, so I would say it's only speaking about the finished product. Av kol pri gomer, only a finished product, the finished fruit, should be also to the nazir. Imkain amrit, you have to respond that can't be what the pasuk is teaching us, because man niach alocha kosev b'mashmo shlo yomro, what is not included in the pasuk? Anov melach miveshim, moist and dry and fresh grapes are mentioned. Haksivi. Yayin v'chaymetz, wine and wine vinegar, ksivi are mentioned. Ha'en l'cha lodim b'losh akron and k'losh rishon. That's why we can't say, like we wanted to say, that the pasuk is coming to teach us that a nazir is only prohibited in finished fruit, but we have to follow the first suggestion that says we look at it as fruit, and it's coming to include, even according to Rabbanan, more items. So if it's coming to include everything, what did the Torah have to use the words chatzan v'adzag? And as Tosfos explains, we need the pasuk to teach us chatzanim and zag are aser. But why did the Torah have to place it in a situation of a prat uklal uprat? We could have mentioned chatzanim v'zag before we mentioned the klal. Have the two pratim together and then mention the klal. Loimelach, kol makom shata moitzi prat the klal. To teach us that whenever we have a situation of prat the klal, iyatol rishoy l'moshch l'adonu kein a prat uklal does not have the same rule as a prat uklal a prat, el glas a klal moitziv al a prat. The klal, if we have a situation of a prat uklal, it's a lot broader than a situation, it comes to include many more items than a situation of a prat uklal uprat. That's why the Torah had to say the psukim in this fashion, that we should have a situation of a prat uklal uprat.